Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Today, Erin is back. We're so happy to have her back. And we are going to talk about boundaries, mostly because this is something that has been on my newsfeed and then kind of in my, I guess, on my radar. And it's also something that we can address in coaching. And I think it does kind of speak to our values and also self-care, of course, because boundaries are an important part of self-care. So when I think about boundaries, one of the things that comes to my mind is I had a family friend, and she tutored me when I was 9. And as I grew up, she just stayed in my life. And once I would ask her for advice, or I would talk about some things that I'm some problems that I was facing or looking for solutions. And one of the things that she told me was that we teach people how to treat us. And I think that boundaries is one of those things that is like a teaching tool that we use in relationships, whether professional or personal, that tell the other person, hey, you know, this is where you end and I begin. And this is okay and this is not okay. Also, having grown up in a family where boundaries wasn't really a thing for children, you know, children were just kind of seen and not heard. And, you know, in my family, there wasn't a sense of respect, or there wasn't any kind of, there wasn't an intentional effort by the adults in my life growing up that gave me any kind of indication that it was okay for me to say no, or it was okay for me to set a boundary. So in my adult life, learning how to set boundaries, not only professionally and personally, but also for myself as well, is an ongoing process for me. So Erin, how about you? What are your thoughts about boundaries?
Yeah, my history with boundaries is all over the place. And, you know, I've really struggled with boundaries when it comes to work ethic, because that it was so tied to, you know, our upbringing and what our role in the world should be anchored into. And when I've anchored myself into that without setting boundaries, that's where I've ran into a lot of trouble, directly tied to work and doing too much. And now that I've learned that, I feel like I've had to learn that lesson over and over and over and over. I am much more aware of how I can set boundaries, still get good work done, and also have time for other things. On the flip side of that now, where I struggle with boundaries the most is all the other things that I do now. I have so many different hobbies and volunteer engagements, and obviously my family, and then my work. So I struggle with my boundary setting because I like to do and be involved in so many different things and experience the diversity of those things. So I could use some coaching on, you know, today, or just, you know, at any point on setting boundaries. But I think what you said really spoke to me about like being a child and how do we teach our own children to set boundaries and to say what they need to say in, you know, a respectful and effective way, and help them feel the confidence to do that and let them make mistakes with doing it too and learning it. And I think that comes back to our role as parents. And we have so much on our plate as parents in terms of what we explicitly teach our kids. But I think that we do need to discuss boundaries maybe more explicitly with our children and how they're showing up for themselves, what's going well, what's not, and how that could then be used to move forward in a more effective way in their own lives. And so I think this is a work in progress for so many people. And this can be done through right coaching or through family therapy or all different modalities to maybe support that integration of the boundaries. And of course, we're always going to be learning as we go. It's not like, oh, we learned how to do boundaries and then we have it right. But without the foundation, we're fumbling so much, like you said, in adulthood, right? It's like Oh, I didn't learn that. And now I have to learn as I go, that whole metaphor, building the plane as it flies kind of thing. And that doesn't work. So I just go back to, it is our job as parents and in our society to teach our youth about what boundaries are and how they can be effective for them. And I think the youngest generation has had a little bit more of that, and they're entering college with a little bit more, it seems like, mindful behavior in that way. So yeah, I'll leave it there, and you know, maybe LaShawn, talk a little bit about too, do you see differences in how your kids relate to boundaries, one as a high school student and one as an elementary school student? And you know, maybe we can do a little bit of more framing and nuance at the different age levels as well.
Right. So I think that it was a really good point that you said about how we as parents teach boundaries. And I was thinking about that myself. Like, for example, often our children learn by example. They learn when they like watch mom and dad do certain things and how we set boundaries. So I think we could explicitly, I mean, I think there's definitely teaching moments, especially with our own children. For example, we could set a boundary with our children. So you mentioned like my daughter, she's in high school and my son is in elementary school. So for my daughter, it can be a lot more intentional and explicit. Like, for example, when she likes to hang out with her friends, right? So she's 15, she doesn't have a license, she doesn't have a car, right? So she depends on us to take her places. And sometimes she's not so good at communicating when we need to pick her up. And so we tell her, you know, we need to know when you are ready to be picked up. We need to know before we drop you off when we need to come pick you up. So that in a way is a boundary for my daughter. She needs to know that her going and spending time with her friends, that's fine. We're okay with that. Her depending on us for a ride or their parents for a ride, that she needs to learn how to like communicate. So that is a boundary that kind of flexible timeline that she has doesn't work for us. And so we can respectfully tell her, Naomi, this is what we need. We need you. And then we also even set like a limit. So for example, if you don't tell us when to pick you up, we're going to tell you when we're going to pick you up and you need to be ready. So in that way, I see that as, you know, kind of setting boundaries with my daughter. And then with my son, really just he, for whatever reason, and this might be, you know, him being a neurodivergent, he feels guilty, or I don't know what it is, like when he doesn't like stopping something that he's doing. So for example, if he needs to get ready for school and he's watching a video, he'll start like putting himself down and like saying, "Oh, I'm disrespectful, I'm rude, I'm mean." And I tell him, "Oh, is what's happening here? You're angry. You don't want to stop watching your video and go brush your teeth. Is this what's going on here? That's okay. It is okay for you to not want to do something. That is okay, you know, and it's human. It's human not to want to stop watching your video. And there's and it's you don't there's no reason for you to say mean things about yourself because you feel unhappy because I've asked you to do something you don't want to do, and that's okay. So I think a lot of it is just reminding him that he doesn't have to be, you know, positive and agreeable all the time, and that is not a bad thing to disagree with what's happening. And so I talk to him and I say, you know, you can just tell mom, you can just tell me, I don't really want to stop watching my video right now, and we can have a conversation. That's perfectly okay. You don't have to like say that you're mean or disrespectful or you're rude because that's not what you are. What you are is human. And you don't want to stop watching your video, and that's okay. We can have a conversation. So that's one example that I have, two examples with my daughter and my son on how I work on validating their feelings and respecting their needs or, you know, the things that they want to do, like my daughter being social with her friends, and then my son wanting to watch a video and not go brush his teeth. Just letting them know that it's okay to have those boundaries or to have those needs. And you know, this is how we can communicate it to the other person without feeling like we're doing something wrong or bad in the case of my son, or the way that we can communicate this in a way that works for, you know, both people involved. You can go and hang out with your friends, but you do need to let us know when this is going to end. Even though you don't want it to end, I know, I get it, but it has to end. We have to come pick you up, and you need to communicate to us when that is. So, about you, Erin, you have two, you know, children. That you, what? How do boundaries show up for you when you're interacting with your girls?
I mean, I think I can come up with a few missteps recently on my part, in a way. Even this morning, getting ready for school, our alarm was on, like it usually is, and I opened the front door without thinking to shut the alarm off first. This was well into the journey, and I call it a journey because that's what it feels like in the mornings of everybody being dressed. So by that point, you know, everyone was at least dressed and almost ready to go. But that sound completely disrupted and dysregulated my first grader. Like, there was so much fear. And it wouldn't stop, and it wouldn't stop. And I felt like that. If I would have been able to articulate maybe a little more clearly at that point, like, oh, wow, this infringed on her sensory needs. How can I respond to that a little bit more effectively versus where I was at, you know, also trying to set a boundary for myself in some ways, like I'm barely awake. I was thinking about what I had to get done today, you know, all those things. And so when it comes down to it, what this really makes me think of is that for boundaries, you have to be present. And I wasn't present, right? I wasn't very present. And I think that what I mean by that is, okay, if I would have just taken a moment to sit down with myself, leaned into the present moment, and really just kind of did that piece wholeheartedly, not, you know, worrying about what's to come after I drop them off at school, but just that, I think the situation would have ended up a lot better than her racing on her scooter out the door, you know, barely on to school on time and full of tears, you know, that sort of thing. And so the presence for me with boundaries is if I can get into a space where my heart, mind, and soul are aligned, I can more likely set boundaries for myself and then help my kids set boundaries as well, or, you know, just really just set them better for myself. And I think that's really hard if you're in conflict spaces where you're used to being in conflict with certain people. And, you know, you tell yourself, I'm going to set a boundary this time. I'm going to get this right. And it never really goes right, right? I don't know. But I think one of the challenges that I've noticed in things not going right is there's a lack of presence on my part, the ability to pause, the ability to just take a pause. I think that is one of the things I want to take away from our conversation today with my own boundary setting, is just take a pause and see where that leads. And, you know, if your boundaries have consistently been infringed upon, it's a question of how do you engage that conflict effectively, or do you walk away from the relationship? And I think there's a lot of challenge, especially today, at that individual level with conflict, but even more largely at, you know, the political and societal level, where a lot of conflict is happening. And I think it's because one reason is people aren't clear about their boundaries, don't know how to set their boundaries. And then others infringe on those boundaries as well. Or when it's unclear, take advantage of that too. And so I like this concept of us kind of also thinking about boundaries with conflict. And then last night, you know, my fourth grader trying to go to bed. She is a night owl. She does not like to fall asleep. She's a very high energy kid, on the go a lot. But she came back downstairs after we had a discussion, and she's like, Mom, I don't agree with you, and here's why, and I need to share this. And I thought that was really good. I was very impressed with that. On the other hand, I'm sitting there thinking, it's really late. Just get to bed. And that's my boundary. Like, so how do I, you know, as the parent or as the other individual in the situation, set an effective boundary while my daughter's also setting an effective boundary? I think that's really hard too.
Yeah. Well, it's really great just to hear that she's able to articulate disagreement in a way that is, you know, respectful, and that she feels, you know, that she trusts you enough to do that. I think that's fantastic that she's able to articulate that. How did that end up? Did you end up just saying, okay, it's late, you're going to bed?
Yeah, I just reiterated that multiple times. And then she's like, you're not me. And then I'm like, I can't do this right now. And then it's like, get to bed right now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say it was the most effective conversation. And I think that's because the boundaries on my end were maybe a little unclear. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the other thing that your example with your fourth grader illustrates is the messiness of boundaries. Because like you could go and you can read about, you know, the, you know, psychologists and therapists that they say, you know, this is how you set a boundary and da, da, da. It's like, yeah, but life gets messy. So what do you do when you're, but let's do like a work example. So let's say you're, one of your boundaries as a person, as part of the team or as an employee, is that you don't want to take after hours calls. And that's a boundary, right? And so you tell your supervisor, you tell your coworkers, hey, I don't take calls after 6 o'clock. That's my family time. That's my me time. That's my quiet time. I turn off my phone and I don't take calls. So that's your boundary. But then something comes up, like there's a work emergency or the, you know, and only you can solve it. Do you hold that boundary or do you make an exception? And so me as a person who did not grow up with either, I grew up with blurred boundaries or no boundaries at all. Like this boundaries, what are boundaries? What, you're a kid, shut up, do what you're told kind of thing, you know? And then I'm also a people pleaser. I'm a recovering people pleaser. So that is like something that I would probably like bring to a coaching session. I would be like, hey, you know, coach, I'm really finding it difficult to reconcile honoring my boundaries and making exceptions. And, you know, how can I work with that? How can I work with exceptions? Like, because sometimes there are things that you just have to make exceptions, you know, exceptions to a rule. So for example, if, you know, I have a boundary with, like bedtime is a boundary, right? Bedtime is a boundary. But let's say, my 15-year-old is working on a project and that project needs to get done the next day. And it's past her bedtime. And she comes to me, and says, Mom, you know, I know my bedtime is this time, but I got to finish this project. And I could go on and say, well, you should have done it earlier, you know, this kind of thing. But when do you make an exception? And then if you make an exception, what happens when that becomes a habit? You know, because consistency is part of boundaries as well. So any thoughts on that, Erin?
Oh, I know, the consistency and habits. So habits and consistency are definitely part of coaching, right? But yeah, at a personal level, because I don't tend to think in black and white, I tend to really get into that gray nuance space. It really causes a lot of discomfort and challenge for myself, because then I can't set the boundary or follow through with the boundary in the moment. Because like, well, okay, or this or that, you know, like I really struggle with being very like clear in situations, because, you know, with the situation of your daughter who's in high school, she either stays up late and finishes a project. Mm-hmm. She's tired the next day at school, which impacts her other learning, but she still turns it in, doesn't fall further behind in a class. Mm-hmm. Not that she's behind in the first place, but that, you know, how it tends to impact. Yeah. And I, you know, since I think it comes down to values. What do you value in that situation? Where I value is my daughter doing well in school. And when I think about all the different options here, I think that she can finish her project tonight, learn her hard lesson, hopefully that was too much, learn how to scaffold her projects a little bit more in the future. But I think it really is, it's a values conversation too. And what I think is so hard about this and why people struggle with boundaries in relationship to values is because you can have a value word. Let's say you value freedom. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say we describe that word all the words that describe freedom, right? All the different types of words, autonomy, free thought, access to certain things, right? Each person is going to align with those other words under freedom in a different way. Mm-hmm. So that's what's so hard is like, we're all saying we value freedom, but when it comes down to it, that's not the case. It's like, it's much more nuanced than that. I think that ties back to the boundaries for me is just like, this is a big topic because it's so hard as a parent or just as an individual, as a person in the workplace to kind of find an effective way through, especially when you consider values, especially when you consider how you've been conditioned in your past, how intentional you are about making shifts with your boundaries. And and you know, in coaching, you might work on that. That might be the one thing that you're working on in coaching is how can you be more intentional about boundaries? But then there's all the other things going on in your life around that too. So mm-hmm. I think the other piece to this is be intentional and hold yourself with grace when you mess up or when you aren't doing, you know, reinforcing the boundaries in a way that you think that you should. So what did I say? It's a grace and it's, it's consistency, like you said, and it's values and it's messy. So that's what comes to mind for me. Yeah.
Well, I love that you bring in a piece of grace because grace is such an important thing to think about when you are playing with boundaries or you're learning how to set boundaries. You know, in my case, learning how to set boundaries, sometimes you might go too far. You might be too rigid or you may not be flexible enough. And so I think that, you know, having grace when you're setting those boundaries is really important because you don't want to be hard on yourself. And that in itself can be a boundary because one of the things that I think about, like when I go back to what I said at the beginning, is like boundaries are how you teach people how to treat you. And I would say boundaries are how you treat you teach yourself how to treat yourself, right? Because if you don't have your own personal boundaries, like the certain boundaries that we have for ourselves, like I will not, like if we take like a health situation, let's say that your doctor tells you, okay, you know, the trajectory that you're on right now is really dangerous. And that if you don't cut back on the, you know, fatty foods that you're eating, then this could get really serious. And so your boundary would be not allowing yourself to eat those fatty foods, although you might feel like that's something you're used to, that you're comfortable with those fatty foods, and your doctor is telling you you're hurting yourself. And so you need to stop eating those fatty foods. Or it could be you need to lose a certain amount of weight. And so giving yourself those boundaries, like saying, okay, I'm going to eat lean meats now. And so that boundary would be that, you know, once a month, I might have that the food that I really like, but I'm going to be eating lean meats and vegetables and fruits and things like that. That's what I'm going to do. And so the boundary that you're setting for yourself is that you will cut back on certain foods. So when you slip up, and let's say you have like fried chicken or something like that, I don't know, fatty foods, something that's highly high in saturated fat, like a fried food, and you have that and you already had that in the month, then giving yourself grace is going to help with those hormones that accompany stress, that accompany what unpleasant feelings like cortisol levels and those two sort of things. If you're able to give yourself grace and say, hey, you know, I'm, this is a work in progress. This is a journey. And sometimes I might slip up and that's okay. Just, I have to remember that next time, as long as I'm being more intentional about what I'm eating or more intentional about what I'm saying to myself, that's another thing. I will get through this, you know, like any habit that we change or that we establish when we're establishing new habits, it's really important to remember that we will occasionally fall back on our default. And if we're used to eating fatty foods and we, you know, slip up and eat more than we should, then it's really important to hold ourselves with grace because it exacerbates the issue when we're mean to ourselves or we beat ourselves up or we're we get really stressed out about that because we're just adding, salt to the wound, as they say. So I think that's really important to have grace, to include grace in boundaries and boundary setting and that journey that we go through when we're setting boundaries. And the other thing that's really interesting that has come up is just really understanding what boundaries are and what does that look like and how does that show up in our lives, like when we set a boundary. And then if you're the type of person like me who grew up with blurred or no boundaries, it's uncomfortable when you do set a boundary. And it can also be uncomfortable when someone sets a boundary for you. And it can also be uncomfortable when you cross a boundary and you don't realize that that boundary is there. It's just the reaction that you get from the person, either anger or withdrawal. You can kind of sense when you crossed a boundary, and often the language for addressing that, talking to the person, like, "Ooh, I think I hit a boundary," but who talks like that? non-coach people, non-therapists, non-psychologists who can like that meta language. What would be an effective way to address? Because we're going back to conflict, right? Because what are conflicts if not crossing boundaries and the reaction that comes with that crossed boundary? Often conflicts are a result of boundaries that have come into contact, and it's like, "Woo, that's a boundary," and that's and doesn't feel so good, and so we react through anger, through withdrawal, through hurt, something like that, crying, something like that, where we show the other person a boundary has been crossed, but we may not even know that a boundary has been crossed, especially if you are not aware, if you're not self-aware. You may not even know, "Oh, why am I angry?" You may not even know that you're angry because a boundary has been crossed. What are your thoughts about that, Erin?
I think it makes me more excited about this word pause.
Yes.
Because if we're having to process all this information in the background, plus the communication sciences of it all, plus all this other piece, like there's a lot there. And we can't, constantly be living in our heads that way, right? So I think for me, it is that level of just taking a pause, maybe just even like with your PQ reps, running your fingers together and taking a pause and asking yourself, what would be most helpful here? Or not even asking yourself, taking a pause and just saying what your truth is saying, listening to your own truth as well. And I think that your point about, how we treat ourselves is how we set boundaries in a way is also really an important point that you talked about earlier on in the episode, because we have to start, I think, with ourselves. And yes, I can teach my kids or support them through that. But like you said, how I model that for them too is just as important. And so boundaries look very different for different personality types. That would be the other piece that I'd add in here. As someone who does like to kind of output a lot of things, from creative work to physical activity, like constantly. Some people might be like, "Oh, she doesn't know how to set boundaries because she's constantly on the go, constantly doing things." Whereas potentially, I've actually worked really hard on setting boundaries and I'm doing what speaks to my soul, or things like that. And yes, it's a fine line in between that. And then there's another personality where you're like, you're setting too many boundaries, you aren't doing enough, when in fact, no, they're just effective at where they need to be as who they are. So I think this also really kind of gets at our human nature to try to judge others or be like, kind of point the finger in a way about how people are doing boundaries. I think the hard part of that, or the nuanced piece of that, is being able then to at least speak our truth and tell our loved ones if we see like, "Hey, you're doing way too much, and here's what's become of this. Here's where you're at. Here's your health. Da 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 da. How can we support you better? How can you do things a little bit differently?" Like, I think there is that fine line there too that goes beyond, personality. But I think that to get back to all of that, we work on the pause as a population and as ourselves. We work on being okay with the messiness of it all, like you brought up the messiness earlier in the podcast, and giving people grace and giving ourselves grace as we journey through this kind of next generation of people who are much more, I don't want to say much more, they're taught a lot more explicitly about emotional intelligence and relationships. Now, the key is, you know, how does that then show up in the world and how do we embody that moving forward and those things? And so I guess, yeah, that would be the pause for me.
Yeah, no, I love that coming back to the pause and taking the time to process everything that's going through, that's happening. And then also asking that important question, that important question, what would be the best thing for me to do right now after taking that pause and collecting yourself and bringing those E levels down and, you know, all the things that come with making making effective decisions, you know, decisions that are going to be beneficial for yourself and then for others that are concerned. So just that pause is such an important thing because it seems that our lives, the pace of our lives in contemporary lives is just so fast. Like we have a very fast paced life. There's so many things that are going on in our lives, work life, personal life, those things that we do. It seems like things are kind of stacked together and we're going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next and reacting rather than responding. And in order to respond, we need to have that time to just pause and be and reflect and take a deep breath. Breathing is so important. Yeah. And yeah, you know, like those mindfulness micro moments that are so important to being present. That goes back to the beginning of the episode that when you were talking about the importance of being present in order to set boundaries, in order to even be aware that you have a boundary or aware that this is something that requires a boundary or this is something that's involving a boundary. We need to be self-aware. We also need to be present. In order to be self-aware, presence is required.
You mentioned the micro moments. I just want to put a plug in on the micro moments because LaShawn and I have been working on a guided journal that will be released around the holidays. And it really summarizes various coaching nuggets of wisdom into a very structured way to learn from them and to use them for your own strengths. And one of them is on micro moments. So yeah, I just wanted to put that out there because it's starting to kind of become more real that this project's almost done.
Yes, absolutely. And to add to what you said, Erin, the guided journals, they have those coaching nugget of wisdom from episodes that we have chosen that have really resonated with us, those coaching nuggets of wisdom. And the micro moments is one of those. And then with that comes questions, you know, questions that coaches ask their clients to really get them to get to the heart of the matter. And so those powerful questions that come up in coaching, those are some ways that we can explore boundaries and how we can explore how boundaries are showing up in our lives. And then also even how we are responding, reacting to boundaries, like what's going on inside of our bodies? Where do we feel boundaries in our bodies? Is it like in our stomach? You know, where is that? And maybe kind of get an idea of how we're feeling when a boundary is set in relationships, either personally or professionally, or when we feel a boundary has been crossed that we may not even know was even a boundary. Like how does it feel when your boundary is crossed? And then that's another thing where, you know, you're reacting to something, could be knee-jerk reaction. That going back to what you said, Erin, about pausing, you know, taking that moment to pause and get curious about what's going on with you. And maybe even it could go back to your values. Like what value is being challenged here, or what value is showing up here in my reaction to whatever's happening between myself and this person or between myself and this directive from the doctor or something like that. Like what's happening here that is causing, you know, some kind of emotional or physical reaction. So definitely that tool that Aaron and I have worked on, the guided journal, is a way to pause and to ask those questions and to ponder those questions that we ask in the journal. So I think that's exciting, and we're really looking forward to have that ready for people to purchase and use when they are maybe reflecting on their holidays and and the end of the year and the new year coming up. And you know, there's all kinds of things that you know, this journal can help with, or can help guide you through the different things that you're experiencing in this time of year, this end of the year. We're right, like, beginning of holiday season. You know, people are already putting Halloween decorations out, and well, they've been doing that since like Labor
August.
Day, something like
yeah.
that. They're starting to see Halloween decorations more than more often than not. More and more houses are looking Halloweeny.
It's such a fun holiday for our kids here. I mean,
yeah.
We live in a place where it's so fun and celebrated so well. But I guess on that note, maybe we can jump into the coaching nuggets of wisdom from today's episode. Clearly, you know, reiterating the pause and the grace that goes along with setting boundaries. And so my coaching nugget of wisdom for you for this week is to come up with maybe a 20-second pause exercise that would work for you, not only when it comes to difficult conversations where boundaries need to be reinforced, but just in your day-to-day, how you can integrate a 20-second pause here and there throughout your day.
Yeah, and I would like to add to that as an invitation to get curious about boundaries and where they show up in your life and how you feel about boundaries and where you would like to shore up those boundaries a little bit more in your life to improve the quality of your life. Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.